the daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. Now, normally on Monday's Racing Podcast, I'd say we're going to look ahead to Monday's action, but there isn't any. There's no racing, in fact, until the 26th of December. A great day on Boxing Day. 10 meetings domestically, and Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott and Darren Owen will be live on Racing Radio from midday for all of that. So tune in for all of that. We'll be back on Boxing Day. But right now, my name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined in the studio by Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good. Thanks, Mark.
Good. What we're going to do is we're going to look ahead, look back rather, at Saturday's action, because it was another good Saturday of racing. A few surprises along the way, shall we say. So we'll start with that, and then we'll look ahead to some of the stuff on Boxing Day. Two big races that we're going to look at are the Christmas Hurdle and the William Hill King George as well. So plenty to look ahead to, but we'll start by looking back, Mick, and another good Saturday.
Yeah, but looking back and also looking ahead from looking back.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to look back at Saturday stuff and the effect that will have in the future.
Absolutely.
Yes. good Saturday though, wasn't it, Mick? Did you enjoy it?
It was good stuff, yeah. I mean, the conditions were very testing at Ascot. The jockeys in the first were very wary of the ground. Very slow time for the first race, just to get the feel of it, I think. And as a result of that, Nicky Henderson took out Trio Delaney, Hennessy winner, out of the 3 o'clock, which robbed that race of a bit of its interest. But overall, some very good performances.
Mm. Yeah, let's start with that race then, Mick. Hublon de Zobo came out on top in the end. A battling performance as well. I thought he was going to get done on the running, but he stuck to the task quite well.
He certainly did, because Cedric Blair, it looked as if he'd just been brought with a perfectly timed run by Daryl Jacob to challenge going to the last, and in receipt of a stone, you thought, well, that's it, good jump at the last, we'll seal it. They both jumped the fence well, but to his credit, Hublon de Zobo just kept finding more, didn't he? And, you know, he looked for all the world like a horse who wouldn't be put out by a further step up in trip. He's only sixth. I think he's a very exciting young staying chaser. Whether the handicapper will put paid to him in the handicap company, whether he'll have to go into graded company now, we'll have to wait and see. But good performance by the front two, and even though he was getting in receipt of a stone, Cedric Blow will be winning plenty of races.
Okay, shall we move on to the David Nichols graduation chase, because I suppose a fitting winner with Paul Nichols in the winner's enclosure.
He's today and the second O'Fairlands boy come out of the race with plenty of credit. Easter Day, again, travelled really well. He jumps. I think that's the biggest thing about him for a horse who's only five. His technique over fences is going to take him a long, long way. And he won off a mark of 135 at Newbury on his second start over fences. And his jumping technique outweighs his lack of size, because he wouldn't be the biggest to be jumping fences, but he's got a great attitude and technically very good. And be interested to see how far he can go. He'll have no problem staying 3 miles. And he's a horse, again, for only a five-year-old, with an exciting future. As has the second over fences, O'Fairland's boy. You know, that was a big ask on those conditions against you know, horses of the calibre of Easter Day and Baby Mix, but he's run with plenty of credit. She had a pretty frustrating day, Rebecca Curtis. She also had the runner-up in the 150, as well as O'Fairland's boy, and then with the Fisher's Cross debacle, wasn't really Rebecca's day, was it? But I think she will be pleased. She'll have gone home pleased with O'Fairland's boy's run on his debut and his first start for a long time. His first start, actually, since running so well to finish fourth in the Grade 1 Albert Bartlett on his final outing over hurdles. So, yeah, I think two very promising young horses there. we saw in that 1:15.
Yeah, very encouraging chase debut from O'Ferland's boy. We'll move on to At Fisher's Cross in a moment. I'm sure you all know what happened with that race, but AP McCoy did get into the winner's enclosure. He rode Josie's Orders to victory in the 3 mile novices handicap hurdle, and a good performance from that one as well.
It was, as I said, the jocks were very wary of the ground. They set very steady factions on those novices over that 3 miles in those testing conditions. As a result, the race was run as a time some 45 seconds slower than average. But even so, it was a good performance by Josie's Orders, wearing blinkers for the first time. AP held him up off the pace, made progress from about halfway, and stayed on well to beat Sybarite, who probably just got left behind a bit when McCoy made his move to get into a sort of challenge position. Sybarite was still getting hung on to, and he just grabbed second off Bob Tucker on the flat. If he'd been ridden a bit more positively, Sybarite might have just given Josie's Orders something to do, and I think he's a horse to keep an eye on in these sort of contests, the runner-up Sybarite. And you know, take nothing away from the third, Bob Tucker, who travelled the best horse in the race for me for a long time. And I wouldn't mind seeing him go back to 2.6 or even 2.5. I think there's definitely more races to be won with him, Bob Tucker.
Okay, yeah, one of the big races at Ascot on Saturday was the Ladbroke, and Willow Savey came home in front to provide Dan Skelton with his first major success. A nice little story, that, isn't it, Mick, that he's hit the heights there, and Willow Savey did it nicely in the end as well.
Yeah, he tried 11 goes without winning for his previous trainer, Charlie Longson. I mean, he's no mugger to get placing horses to win. So, you know, full credit to Dan Skelton, who's revived this horse following a wind operation in the summer. And he's improved hand over fist, £15 higher than when winning over 2 mile 3 on his debut for the yard in November. And he was up in grade as well. Softest ground he'd encountered. And just given a very confident ride by a young Harry Skelton. And yeah, well done to all concerned. It was a good piece of placing and a job well done. What I did find interesting, Mark, with a view to the future, is how well the four-year-olds ran to finish second, third and fourth.
Yeah,
three of the four-year-olds are running that race. A very competitive level, this Ladbroke hurdle. And for Pitt Zig to carry 11 stone 12 into second,
it's not a bad effort, is it?
It's not. And you had the Cheltenham winner, Flaxen Flair, in third, and Crispy Green in fourth. I think that augurs well for the likes of our Connor, for one, when he tackles Hurricane Fly at Leopardstown. Is it this day next week, or is it Saturday?
Sunday.
Yeah, this Sunday. Day next week.
Yeah. Which should be that'll be a good race, won't it, as well, to look forward to. Just going back to Harry Skelton as well, he loves it at Ascot. He's got a 75% strike rate there.
He's got a good strike rate overall, hasn't he? Really? He does seem to target Ascot, doesn't he? Yeah, tremendous stuff.
15 winners from 77 runners so far, so he's started very well to his career.
Yeah, I know Paul Nicholls is getting a lot of the credit for bringing him on, and obviously he's learned plenty from Paul, but you know, a lot of what he is now comes from his dad, you know, who was a top-class show jumper, did everything right, his horses were all immaculate, he was always immaculate. And I think, you know, Paul Nicholls has sort of polished him off, if you like, as to the rudimentaries of racing, but I think his family have made him the man he is. Paul Nicholls has made him the trainer he is, and I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah.
I didn't think his father got enough credit there for what... it seems to be Paul Nicholls getting all the credit when the background came from the family, and I don't think his father and his parents and his grandparents really got a look in, really, and I think they should have done, because that's where the background came from. They made him the man, and Nicholls made him the trainer.
Yeah,
joint effort.
Yeah, it's a nice point, and the fact that he trained the horse and his brother Harry rode the horse as well, that's further testament as well to the family, I suppose.
Absolutely. And he's riding with bags of confidence as well, isn't he, young Harry Skelton? And it was a great win for all concerned.
Let's talk about the big race then, the Long Walk Hurdle. Rev de Civilla coming home in front for a second year in succession. Salubrious second, Tweedledrum third. Where's at Fisher's Cross, some people might be asking. Well, he unseated Tony McCoy, and it's a big question mark over at Fisher's Cross now.
Yeah, he wasn't going to finish within, 10 lengths of the winner, was he? Even if he'd survived that, well, I don't know what he tried to do at the last. The one thing he didn't do was try and jump it. And AP went out the side door. He's a horse with a big question mark out hanging over him at the moment. If he was owned by one of these strange people who seem to own Premiership football clubs at the moment, he'd be having a new trainer tomorrow. But having the owner he is, he won't. He'll let Rebecca sort him out and they'll bring him back. Jumping's always been one of his sort of... he's always been a talented horse from A to B, but his jumping technique's not always been the best. Something's ailing him somewhere. He's either got a pelvic alignment problem or a muscle soft tissue problem somewhere. There's something there. He's not the horse that we saw last year, but they'll get him right, I'm sure.
Yeah, so you think there is something amiss?
Oh, definitely,
it's
got to be.
Just the fact
that
on the
that first
horses.
Run, I was working yesterday. So there's no way. We said to our listeners, there's no way you could go in odds on the way around at Newbury. It just didn't show enough.
No, that's right. Yeah,
and to go off 8-11 as he did on Saturday. Well, there just wasn't enough evidence on that Newbury run to say that all was well.
Yeah.
And yesterday confirmed it.
It's one of those where...
Saturday confirmed it.
Priced up on reputation and potential rather than form in the book, I suppose.
Absolutely, so yes, absolutely.
Always a risky proposition.
And taking on a horse like Rev de Civilla, who, in the absence of the likes of big books, is absolutely peerless at this, in these sort of events, isn't he?
Yeah, he proved that last year as well, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's changed the betting for the World Hurdle, obviously a clue towards the World Hurdle. Big Bucks used to win this race en route to that. We've also seen My Way to Solzen and Barracuda win the Long Walk Hurdle en route to the World Hurdle success. And it's shortened Big Bucks, who we still haven't seen. Although he did,
he did a public gallop at Exeter back end of last week. Wasn't overexerted, but the great thing was he was out there and galloping and doing it, and whatever ailed him last year is behind him.
Good.
The only thing I know Nichols will get him there as well and as good as he can on the day, and he hasn't got that many miles on the clock at the age of 10. But it's a fascinating scenario now, isn't it? Is he going to be able to defend his crown against the up-and-comers, or he get all the old battle-hardened contenders who've taken him on before? It adds spice to it, doesn't it, the World Hurdle?
It does, yeah, and he's the 2-1 favourite, which some people will look at and think 2-1 are about Big Bucks. If he's the same horse, is a great price.
Absolutely.
More of that, and Solway are both 6-1, Annie Power 7s with Zarkander. At Fisher's Cross is now 10-1, as is Rev de Civilla, and it's 14-1 for Monksland.
We'd have to say Rev de Civilla with the each way angle at that price, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Although he did finish 4th in the race last year, didn't he, after winning this. So I suppose that's
the question
mark.
He'd run in the Cleve Hurdle, hadn't he?
Yeah.
And they reckon that the running in the Cleve Hurdle had bottomed him.
Right.
And they're going to swerve that and go for something a bit further back from the festival, so he goes there a fresher horse. Yep. That's what they were blaming for him not making the frame in the World Hurdle last year. Not the fact that he wasn't good enough, he's plenty good enough.
Yeah.
But he just bottomed himself in the Cleve Hurdle, so he's missing that. So that'll also mean he's not taking on Big Bucks, which is probably a good thing for him.
Yeah.
Would have been nice to have seen him there, but he's saving to take Big Bucks on in the big one.
Yeah, save it for the big one. It'd be good. Solway as well, last year's winner, wasn't he? 6-1 in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Another one who had, a bit of spice to the mix.
Yeah, and then you got more of that who could be anything at the moment. And Annie Power, another one that's got limitless potential at the moment.
Getting the mayor's allowance, yeah.
Should be a good race, shouldn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
I know it's early, Mick, but if I were to say to you now, I've got £10, go have a bet in this race, what would you go for?
I'd go for Rev de Civilla each way.
Yeah, okay. Right then, let's move on from that, unless there's anything else from Saturday that's caught your eye, Mick?
Not really. I mean, there was one or two good performances up at Haydock, wasn't there? We saw a really good novice chase. Mawaleshi continuing his winning ways over fences for Sue Smith, and he just so economical over his fences for a horse who wouldn't be the biggest. And don't forget, it was a class two. So Jonathan England, his jockey, couldn't claim his £5 allowance. So basically, had his £8 penalties plus the burden of England not able to claim. But I thought he was very accomplished on him. Didn't go and chasing after Valco de Touzain when Rahman kicked that perennial front runner clear, because Marwell actually likes to make it. He just sat off him. And I thought he rode a brilliant race on Mawaleshi. I thought that was a really good performance by Stu Smith, novice Mawaleshi, in that grade two. We saw the listed mares won by Carol Spirit. What a game mare she is. She's gone from strength to strength. And she's reportedly going for the Warfield Mares Hurdle at Ascot rather than Newbury Mares Final. So wherever she goes, she's got to be respected. 3 miles again for her will be absolutely no problem. And the Tommy Whittle, that went to a Knight Alliance for the Bald Doctor. Good day up there for Leighton Aspel, who partner Carl Spirit. He was also on board Knight Alliance for Dr. Newland, beating Lochbar and No Planning. And Lochbar, who ran well in second, gives another boost to the Hennessy form, another horse to come out the Hennessy and run well. And I was worried about the Hennessy form. Always am every year, but I think it's going to be okay. I think we're going to be able to stand by it. Okay. So that was good.
Yeah, no, our first ever win on the track as well for Dr. Richard Newland. He did it.
That was incredible, wasn't it?
Did it in a nice race, didn't he, to get his first winner?
Just a bit. It's always a hard race to win that. Tommy Whittle.
It is. Right, let's move on then, Mick. Just a couple of things to talk about before we actually get stuck into the two races we're going to look at. Firstly, from a purely selfish point of view, I'm pleased to see that Kempton are going to honour Corto Star with a statue. They're going to unveil a statue next year to celebrate his five King George successors.
Yes, and might have been six, mightn't it? He missed out, didn't he, in the year before his last win.
Yeah.
But, great horse. And you when you look back on it, well, at the time when it's happening, you don't really, it doesn't sink in, but when you look back at the you think, how on earth did Nichols get him there in such good nick for that race every year, and to go and do it like he did do it, tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
He bolted up, didn't he, in a few of them as well, and absolutely destroyed the field, obviously a grade one field as well, which is impressive. And the last one as well for me is probably the best one, because he'd been written off, hadn't he? And I always like sports stories where people get written off and bounce back and answer the critics. And in that year in 2011, he came out and won the Haydock, the Betfair Chase at Haydock, when nobody really gave him a chance. Yeah. They said he was going to regress very quickly because he's a French bred. He won that, and then I still didn't think he'd quite have it in him to win another King George. I actually backed him in the betting without Long Run, expecting Long Run to win the race, and to see him come home in front, well, it made my Christmas, which is, I don't know if that's quite sad, but he is my favourite horse, and that's by far my favourite King George memory.
Yeah, and Long Run came out and won it the following year, didn't he? Yes, I've got some fond King George memories as well. I had a close association with the Dickinson family when I was training. They were very, very good to me, and my favourite King George's would be probably Wayward Lad's three wins in 82, 83 and 85 under three different jockeys.
Yeah.
Johnny Frankham rode him in 82, Robert Earnshaw in 83, and Brad rode him back in 85. And that was followed on Dickinson sort of farming the races, but Nichols did. They won it with Gay Spartan, Tommy Carmody on board in 78, and Silver Buck also with TC on in 80. So great days they were. Silver Buck won it, try a big one. 78 Gay Spartan, 79, 80 Silver Buck. That's correct. Can't read my own notes, Mark. But the Wayward Lad King George's were probably my favourite personally. I was always fond of Wayward Lad. I was lucky enough to saddle him up the day that the Dickinsons had the first five. I said to Mrs. D, cause Michael was sort of nowhere to be found. He was having a panic attack somewhere. I said, would you like me to help to saddle one of them up? Oh, that would be a great help. Thank you. I said, right, I'll do Wayward Lad then. that was great stuff.
Yeah, it has been a great race as well to follow in terms of the horse is backing up, hasn't it? Like you mentioned, Silverbuck won it twice, Wayward Lad won it three times, Desert Orchid four times. Kicking King won it twice, Quarter Star won it five times. It's one of those races where you can follow your horse again, and it seems to work out, which is always nice for building an affinity to a race, isn't it?
So
let's look ahead to the King George this year then, Mick.
We're not necessarily going to have a new kid on the block, are we, if Long Run comes back to perform?
No, and he has been backed as well. I mean, he hasn't really shown much this year, has he?
Well, it was better last time, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was better, yeah. And he did hit the fences quite hard at Weatherby on his reappearance, so that wasn't going to help.
He just looked out of sorts on his reappearance, but I thought he was better last time.
Yeah. He's 10-1 now. I think he was about 16-1 last week, so...
Yeah.
I mean, that will be similar in Quarter Star when he's been written off now. People say he's a French bred, he's going to regress very quickly. And if he were to bounce back, that would get... I mean, I've never really warmed to Long Run, but I suppose this would make me think, oh, well, fair play to you, because he battled so hard in it last year as well, didn't he? And he's starting to make me come round a little bit, I think.
Yeah, well, it's quite... it's not going to be easy for him, because he's the old-timer now, isn't he? We've always sort of looked upon him as the young kid on the block, but... You know, you've got these second season novices now coming in, haven't you? Q Card and Dynast and the likes of Alpha Off. Those three are going to be very hard to beat, aren't they? You know, they're going to take a big chunk out of the race, aren't they? So Long Run is going to have to be on the top of his game if he's going to regain the crown.
Yes, retain the crown now, wouldn't it? He won it last year, didn't he?
So, of course he did, yes. Yeah, of course he did.
Having won it 2 years before that, so
that's right. Yeah,
So Long Run's 10-1. You've mentioned the three at the top of the betting there: Q Card 11-4, Dynast 100-13, Alpha Off 4-1. We can't rule out Silvaniaco Conti as well. He's 11-2. Captain Chris ran a brave race last year. He's 10-1. But I suppose the younger legs are dominating the betting there, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's. I think it's probably that's the three that we mentioned. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they're the three who fight it out. I've just got a feeling. For Alpha Off, it's never really been a horse I've warmed to as such. Never really had him on side, if you like. But the more you look at him, if you really do a study on him and look at some of the horses he's run up against, just if you just look at his career record, Mark, and just have a look back through his career, just see the company that he's kept and the performances he's put in, then you really do start to appreciate of what he's actually achieved. Just look, not necessarily the horse races he's won, but maybe the races he hasn't won, Mark.
Yeah, well, he finished third entry behind Menora in the Grade 1 Novices Chase there. Behind Sprinter Sacra, which...
At Cheltenham, Look, that doesn't tell the whole story. Just look again at the other horses in that Sprinter Sacra. Is that the hurdle race?
That
was a good Arkle, wasn't
it? Finished behind Sprinter Sacra. Second was Q Card. Third Menora. Fourth Alpha Roth.
Yeah.
So, that's and, not...
But it, going back even further, look at some of his hurdle form, place form. I mean, that bears the closest inspection.
Hurdle in the where are we? Third at Newbury, behind Backspin, Caught in Motion. Fanon Stop was in that race as well. And then he's won the rest of them.
Yes, yeah, exactly. He hasn't been beat many times, but when he does get beat, he gets beat in good company, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's only finished second to. Well, he's only placed behind Q Card in a bumper. That race, the Arkle that we mentioned, and then behind Summersby at Ascot, and Menora at Aintree. So, he's running class races, isn't he?
Absolutely. And the fact that he wins most of them that he runs in. you're astonished when you look at his record and just see how good he is.
Yeah.
He just hasn't sort of quite grabbed the imagination somehow, has he?
No.
Yeah, with a record like that. You know, you'd think he'd be a national treasure, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And then I suppose if he does go on to win this, then people actually look and think, hang on a second.
He's always been a good horse. And why didn't we notice it? But horses do creep under the radar a bit like that.
Yeah. The other Nichols horse in the race, Silvaniaco Conti. Apparently, Paul Nichols is thrilled with the rain for him. So
absolutely. And there's more rain to come as well. We saw the racing on Saturday at Ascot, which... isn't far from Kempton, and it was absolutely throwing it down then. I think he's going to be the one most suited by the likely conditions, isn't he? And he's got Noel Feely on board Sylvain Arca-Conti. So you wouldn't rule out a big run from him, would you?
No, you wouldn't. Dynast, we haven't really mentioned him too much. Good effort last time, wasn't it?
Good reappearance.
Yeah.
Because everybody expected him to just go and collect at Cheltenham, he got a bit of a knocking. But I think you forget what a mighty race he ran at the festival, Mark.
Yeah.
That was a really good run, wasn't it? And there was absolutely no disgrace in getting beat in that. It was just hyped a bit, wasn't he? That was the problem.
Yeah.
But for me, he put up a career best at Cheltenham in defeat. And there was absolutely nothing wrong with his comeback run either.
No, and he's got form around Kempton as well. He won the Feltham Novices Chase last year.
So. Yeah.
So he's got a massive chance. And Q Card at the top of the betting there. A bit of a quiet spell now for the Tizards. And there was the talk of a virus in the yard that they've been struggling with this season. Would that temper enthusiasm at the top of the betting?
I'm not sure that it would bother me. If they're not bothered about him, it wouldn't bother me. I mean, Q Card's a big player, isn't he? I mean, he's been in probably grade one level all his life, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's never taken the easy option, Q Card. He's just, when he gets into a rhythm, he's a very hard horse to beat, isn't he? I think we're in for a vintage King George, Mark.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope it's not too ground affected, whereas, you know, the likes of Sylvain Arca-Conti, probably £10 better when it's like riding like that, and the others conversely £5 worse. But let's hope it's just good jumping ground and we see a proper clean race.
Yeah, it'll be good. So at this moment, Mick, King George winner,
Alpha off
for Mick then in the King George. Tell us who you want to back, who you want to win rather, or who you think will win. If you tweet us at Will Hill Racing, include the hashtag WHKG and tell us who you think will win. If you get the correct winner, your name will then be entered into the draw and you have a chance to win one of four £50 free bets. So why not get involved? If you get the correct winner, you might just earn yourself a free £50 bet for Christmas as well. So great stuff to look forward to there. There's also the Christmas hurdle, which is shaping up to be a real cracker as well. The new one is the 10-11 market leader taking on My 10 or Yours, who's 11-10. It's then 14-1 for Grametti. Samatigal is 16s. Duke of Navan 25s. And Chapel House is the 500-1 outsider. So priced up as a match, it really should be a match.
Well, the only thing that can save My 10 to Yours is the track. The new one would... I mean, he's shown he can do it around there anyway, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has, yeah.
I think the new one's a better horse than My 10 to Yours anyway.
And he's only rated £7 superior to My 10 to Yours as well, which Twiston Davis thinks is probably about right.
Yeah, I'd go along with that.
Yeah. Okay, so you think the new one will win?
Yeah.
Is it as simple as that then? Is it going to be those two fighting out, do you think? I mean, you can't really... Grametti threatened to be a good horse, didn't it? And hasn't really gone through with it. And then Samatigal, again, not a bad horse, but not really the class of the other two.
Run him if it's too soft. He's a very good four-year-old, Samatigal. Mm. In the top three, I mean, look what a race he ran in the triumph. Third behind Arcona.
Yeah.
And I think the four-year-olds were an exceptional bunch last year. And if he did turn up Samatigal, he could be the one to give the new one something to think about. But I don't think they'll risk him if the ground is bottomless.
Okay, so the new one then in the Christmas hurdle count really, yeah.
And I've also got a feeling that Samatigal's better left-handed than he is right. But that's just a personal thing. The new one. He seems impervious to ground conditions and he just oozes class.
Yeah, he does, yeah. He's quickly on the rise, isn't he? So that should continue. Right.
And of course, it's top-class racing in Ireland, isn't it? The Leopardstown Christmas Festival and... Yeah. Etc. So plenty to look forward to. All we've got to do is get this pesky Christmas out of the way, man.
Yes, plenty to look forward to. We'll be back from Boxing Day and then like Mick says, there's good racing in Ireland, good racing over here, plenty to look forward to. So join us from midday on Boxing Day with Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott and Darren Owen in the studio. 10 meetings domestically, there's 3 in Ireland and there's all sorts of great racing on, so make sure you tune in for all that. It will make your Christmas. Thank you very much, Mick. Enjoy your Christmas.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you after Christmas.
Yes, and Merry Christmas to all our listeners as well.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.